Yes, ma'am. May I have your name, please, for the record?
It's Mary Kay Broussard.
Great. And your birthday?
January 5th, 1944.
And the period of time that you served and in what branch of service?
I was in the Marine Corps Reserves. I served active duty and then went into the Reserves from 1972 to 2001.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you here today, Colonel. And tell me, I just basically said it, but your highest rank achieved?
A lieutenant colonel.
Great. And let's see, this interview is taking place in Louisville, Kentucky on October the 2nd, 2009. My name is Margaret Plattner. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs. This interview is being conducted as a part of the Library of Congress Veterans History Project. So, all right, tell me, I want to get to know a little bit about you as a person first. Tell me something about your background prior to joining the military.
Oh, gosh. After I graduated from college, I was a school teacher for 7 years.
Where did you go to college?
I went to, well, let's back up. My dad was a Marine and got out of the Marine Corps so he wouldn't have to disrupt family life and move a lot. And then he went to work for Ford, and we moved every 2 years. So I went to 13 grade schools, two high schools, and three colleges. I graduated from Mercy College of Detroit, and then I went from there. I went on to teach, and I did started graduate school, but we moved again. So, but I taught for 7 years, and the Detroit Catholic school system folded in maybe 1970-71.
Okay.
So my family was moving out to California, and I moved out with them.
Where'd you move to in California?
San Jose.
Okay.
Bay Area.
Okay.
And went back to school. That was when women were first getting entry-level positions in business. And I had worked for Ford off and on when I was teaching. That was my summer job, as I would be a relief.
Now, you're in your 20s here at this point?
I was in my 20s.
Okay. What was your graduate, or what was your undergraduate degree?
I was a, I majored in English with a minor in social science.
Okay.
So.
Was your aim to teach at that point?
It was always to teach, yeah.
Okay.
But then when that dried up, and that was also a period where there was just a glut of teachers, and there just wasn't anything. So I thought, well, okay, let's try something different. And I went back to college, took some business administration courses, and started applying for jobs, and everybody said I was overqualified. that was just typical of that beginning women going into business. It was really hard to find a niche and find somebody that wouldn't say 1970-71.
Okay.
And they would tell you you're either overqualified because of your education, or, you know, you're going to get married and have kids and leave us. All the things you can't do now was what I encountered. But I happened to see a Marine Corps officer on campus, and he had a poster.
This is when you're in graduate school.
When I was, well, it wasn't graduate school. I went back to a junior college to take those beginning level courses in business just to see, you know, if it fit,
sure,
and if it was something I would want to do.
Sure.
So I saw this guy, and I thought, oh, they let women in the Marine Corps. Sucker, right? So I went up, and I asked him about it, and I said, you know, I never knew women could join the service. I had never seen a recruiter in school. I'd gone to Catholic schools, and the expectation was you went to college, and so they apparently never came. At least they may have seen the boys, but they never saw the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, we do. Are you interested? And I said, well, yeah. Everybody that I had ever known that had been a Marine just seemed to have these qualities about them, were the kind of people I wanted to be around anyway.
What were those qualities?
Integrity. The desire to serve. They were real people persons, but they were just this cut above. And so, you know, we got to talking, and within 2 days, I had sworn in.
And what were you
sworn
in as?
Did not tell my parents.
Oh, no. Well, first of all, let me ask you, what were you sworn in as?
When you swear in, you just I was applying for officer candidate school.
Okay.
And when I was accepted, when you're in training, you serve as a E5,
mm-hmm.
and that's what your pay grade
mm-hmm.
is. And then once you get your commission, then you start getting the
officer.
Now,
was officer candidate school, was this for women only, or was it mixed?
For women.
So where, well, let me, before we get into that, so your father had been in the Marines,
yeah.
so if you... But was it just this particular Marine Corps recruiter that had an appeal to you about
no,
women
the whole
joining,
idea,
or was
the
it
whole
just,
idea? And okay. and I realized it was like, oh duh, they let women in all the services, I guess, but this would be the only one I would consider
because of
my dad and the people that I had met. I had a cousin
that
I really admired. And both of them tried to say, like, are you crazy?
Mm-hmm,
Why
mm-hmm.
you want to do this?
Because you were a woman? Or
because I was a woman.
Okay.
And because of my age.
What was?
I was 29, almost 29 then.
So you get accepted to officer candidate mm-hmm. school. Was it called women's officer candidate school?
It was.
And where did you do your training?
Quantico, Virginia.
Okay.
And there were 44 of us in the class. Apparently 400 women applied for those seats.
Wow.
And of course I didn't know that, or I'm not sure I would have had the confidence to do that.
So you get accepted and you go through, I assume it's a basic kind of training.
It was very basic.
Was the women's officer candidate school any different from the male officer candidate
school? Very different.
Tell me about
that. We did not learn any tactics or do any hand-to-hand combat kind of training or anything. The only physical thing we did was PT,
mm-hmm.
and our PT was very different.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, instead of a 1.5 mile run, we did a 300-yard dash. It had to be, you know, it was real fast, but in a shuttle run, and we did have to do push-ups, and that was about it. I mean, it was not a real, real tough. For me, it was, because I had never had a gym class in high school.
Well, what kind of, was there any kind of academic training?
Yes.
And what were you learning?
We were learning military customs and procedures. We learned about the Marine Corps. We started learning about Marine Corps aircraft and rank structures and discipline and leadership. And a big focus, of course, was on leadership. So you went through all the leadership billets and stuff.
Did the women get the same kind of leadership training as the men, do you know?
You know, I think we might have.
Okay.
That's funny. My husband's also an officer, and I've really never discussed that, but I felt like we did.
Okay. And how long was the OCS?
I started in October and graduated in December. So it was about... 9 weeks, maybe.
So once, 10 weeks. And then you were commissioned as a second
lieutenant. Uh huh.
So, what area then did you have to declare a specialty, or did the Marine Corps decide here's where you're going to be?
Well, when we went to our follow-on school,
because
Marines go to a higher level school that is kind of like mid-level management.
Okay,
what you are. Maybe not quite that high, but where you learn about every aspect of Marine Corps, you learn administration, you learn finances, you know, the whole spectrum. And then maybe midway through, they give you what they call a dream sheet.
Okay.
They know what billets are open and where they're located, and then they let you choose three. Doesn't mean you're going to get them, but you prioritize. And we actually got, the 44 of us got together and said, okay, who wants what? Because there was maybe only two or three of something open. And I had really wanted to go into, because part of the time I was growing or in college, and my part-time jobs would be in sales, you know, working in a store
mm-hmm.
or customer service,
mm-hmm.
and I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe PX,
mm-hmm.
you know, the post exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd be good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But two other girls wanted it, and one of them had a degree in design and had been a buyer at a store. And I forget what the other one had, but they were both really well qualified. And I thought, well, no, I don't want to use one of my choices up. So I started looking around, and I saw transportation, traffic management. And I thought, you know, I've moved 13 times. I would probably be good at this, too. See, because it's moving people and things. And it was also, one of the billets was at Camp Pendleton, California. My family's out in California. I thought, okay, I'll put that as my top choice. And then I chose a couple others. Well, I got it. And I did not realize at the time I was the first female to be in that position. There were two of us from our class that got in there. I was the first female to do freight. So I managed a freight warehouse. And
so were you in charge of this particular? Were you in command of a particular unit?
It was a I think I had 35.
Is it male, female, or just
male, female, okay. Civilians? Military, both.
Okay. So let's talk about that. You're 29, 30 years old. Yeah. You've been commissioned. And was this the first leadership, big leadership position you ever had?
It was the first leadership position. Yeah.
So tell me about that. What was that like? Did you have difficulty at first?
It was puzzling.
Okay. tell me about that.
It was because I had never been in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching schoolyard. You're leader of the kids, but that's more mentoring than actually making them do stuff for you. Because it was part civilian, there was this continuity that every time an officer left, these people kind of carried the ball, mm-hmm. and because the military were rotating through there. I had some interesting moments with senior enlisted.
Male, female?
Male.
Okay.
That had not worked with women. And mm-hmm. the guy before me was just super. Had always been a limited duty officer, male, and they were just running out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they opened it up. It was a good field to open up for women.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure was on to do that. He had a little bit of trouble figuring me out. But didn't try to play games with me or anything. It was just kind of cool in the beginning. And I think because I was older,
mm-hmm.
I was able to kind of sit back and look at the lay of the land and figure out, you have to figure out who to trust,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then go with your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of did that. And I had one young staff sergeant. No woman's ever going to write my fitness report because I don't think you can do that. And I said, well, that's fine. You don't need to get one. He said, but I couldn't get promoted if I don't get one. I said, well, there's your choice. And he later turned out he could not read. And one of the captains found out. And two of us got him in school, getting his GED and working with him, and he came around. So, you just kind of go in the back door.
Sure. If you can't go in the front door, go in the back door. Now, do you have, I'm not.
And I wasn't looking for prejudice either. That was the other thing.
Well, that's good.
You know.
Do you have I know like in the Army they have an MOS, mm-hmm. and I know in the Navy it was unrestricted line, restricted
mm-hmm,
line.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have a particular
specialty?
I was
unrestricted, and it was. My MOS was a 3102 traffic management officer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, did you do, just to flesh this out for a moment, I should have asked this before, but did you do 20 years of active duty?
No. Okay. I did 3 years active duty. Then I went into the reserves,
okay.
and I did go back on active duty for a period as long as 6 months.
Okay, we'll get
doing
into
special
that.
Stuff.
Okay, so how long was your first assignment?
It was 3 years.
Okay, so you spent your entire active duty time
at Camp Pendleton.
At Camp Pendleton, uh-huh. And what did you learn about yourself in those 3 years in doing this job?
Graduating from OCS, mm-hmm. I learned I could do anything I wanted to do.
Okay,
it just gave me this big boost of confidence, and I just learned how much fun it was being a leader.
What was fun about it?
And I didn't even realize that's what it was until I'm looking back, and it was just fun being able to accomplish things as a team, but being at the head of the team, and seeing what needed to be done and being able to get everybody together and work on it and accomplish it.
And that's great. That's really good. And that's the upside. But what about being a leader where you also can take the slings and arrows? Did you get any of that?
I did. And the first time, like I said, I wasn't looking for biases. I got a little bit, and it really made me mad because that was when Women's Lib was big. So immediately the gentleman would look at you and say, oh, yeah, you're one of those libbers. And no, I'm not. I'm here to do a job. I decided I wanted to do this, and I'm either going to do it as a career or do my 3 years and have the experience to go do something else with it. But that's all I'm here for. I'm not here to find a husband. I'm not here to put you down. I'm just here to be me and do my job and do it well and learn from it. So, you know, I didn't see those kind of... First time I thought I had a bias, my CO kept trashing everything. I'd have these wonderful, like all first lieutenants, second lieutenants do. Great idea how to change things when they'd already done, tried it probably a million times. So he'd round file stuff. And I'm like, that's really bad, you know. Just because I'm a woman, I'll bet you anything. And I started talking to the guys in the BOQ after work, and they were having the same problems. And I said, well, that's okay. It's a second lieutenant thing. They'll listen to me when I'm a first lieutenant or captain.
So as a woman on active duty, did you experience sexism?
I did not experience it. If I did, number one, I wasn't looking for it. So I might not have seen it. But if I did, it was very minimal. And it was just one of those things that you would have in any other job.
So you feel like you had the
respect. Some people that are like that.
And so you feel like you had the respect.
I did. I did. And maybe it was my age, too.
Okay. So you did this for 3 years, and then you got off of active duty. Is that correct? So you're at this critical point of, I can stay, I can go. What made you decide to get out of active
duty? I did not do anything for 2 years. I got married. I had a baby. And I married somebody that had two kids, so, you know, I had all those
had
things.
Had you married during your job?
No, I had met him at OCS, and I married him right after I got off active duty. He was in Okinawa and came back and got married. But I didn't do anything that first year and a half to 2 years.
But I'm saying, what was it? What made you decide to get off active duty?
Because we were getting married. He had been prior enlisted, so he was like 10 years ahead of me. And I was in a, my MOS, I would have been on station probably 5 years. He would be going somewhere every 2 to 3 years. And we just didn't see how we could manage that. And the Marine Corps at that time, none of the services were real easy to marry up folks and keep them together. And we just thought, you know, that's not the way to start out. And so, like I said, I didn't do anything for a couple years, and I got a warrant for promotion to captain in the mail.
And so you were on the inactive duty reserves?
Yeah, and I didn't know it.
Okay.
And I said, well, how could that happen? And my husband said, well, he explained that to me. And he said, you know, you really miss this, don't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, why don't you find a unit of some kind and join a reserve unit? And then I found they had some non-pay ones where you can go and you earn retirement credits. And there was one close to us, so I thought, well, that's a good way to start. And I just got hooked. After that, I mean, I was back.
So you affiliated with a unit, and which unit was this?
It was one at Moffett Field, and we just happened to be stationed at Moffett Field. And I was...
This is in San Francisco Bay Area.
I was a captain, and it was a whole bunch of colonels, and they were working on a special project for Headquarters Marine Corps to identify people's other skills, their civilian skills, and things that might benefit the Marine Corps somewhere down the road. And so we did this big survey. We spent about 2 years doing a survey and compiling the information. And actually, some people got called back on active duty to do certain things.
So these were people who had already served in the military.
And they were in the reserves, and they were just had skills, you know. Some of them were language skills. Some of them, they called him back to teach. One guy ran some kind of company and ended up getting a contract for tents. It was just real interesting.
So you worked on this survey, and you're at Moffett Field. Mm-hmm. And so what about after that?
Well, we got transferred to, my husband went to amphibious warfare school back at Quantico. And I called headquarters Marine Corps and said, I'm in the area and I'd be real cheap if you have any jobs up there that you need people for, because you don't have to pay, back on active duty. You don't have pay per diem because I'm local. Oh, yeah. I was in uniform. I called Friday. I was in uniform Monday for 6 months.
So you were activated.
I was back on active duty.
What year
that would have been 79.
Okay.
And so I spent the next 6 months screening officer records and then calling the officers to tell them, you got a board coming up, you're missing this many fitness reports, and here's some things you need to do to be competitive with the board. And then I got invited to sit as a recorder on a board. And I did that, and then I kind of got in the pipeline. So after that, they started calling me back to do boards. And I just did recorder. I didn't want to be the voting ones as a captain and major. They're way too long. They're 2, 3, 4 weeks, and I didn't want to put that kind of time. But as a recorder, it's great because you get to see how the whole thing works. You meet SecNav, you meet the Commandant of the Marine Corps to report out, and you get a great fitness report. That doesn't hurt. So I did that for a number of years. I was still doing that once in a while when I retired.
So, but you did this for 6 months, then, but you continued to do it afterwards? And
I would go
reserve.
Back up. They'd call me back up to sit on a board or to do a
record. Okay, so you'd be reactivated.
Mm-hmm. So, and in the meantime, though, I did reserve units as well.
With the same kind of work?
No, when we got to Louisville in 1980, the only thing they had was a tank battalion. And so they had a non-paid drill group that did projects for the tank. I can't even remember what we did, but we did stuff with the tank battalion. But none of us were tankers.
So what unit?
Well, I know what we did. We got ourselves assigned to the recruiting station. And
in
we
Louisville?
Would plant,
okay.
For the Marines, because my husband was CO recruiting, and he said, I could use all of you to plan special events, to help us take influential people down to the recruit depot, teachers and people that they call it center of influence, so that they can kind of get them back in, okay, this is a job, this is something that's okay for our students. The Marines aren't really bad guys. So
and
we did that for them.
So, and how long did you do, how long were you in Louisville for this assignment? Where your
well,
husband was
actually,
assigned?
Well, actually, he retired. We decided to retire here. We
Are
loved
you from
it
Louisville,
so much.
Or
no.
Is he from Louisville?
I'm from Illinois. He's a Cajun from Louisiana.
Okay.
We just love Louisville.
What was it about it that you loved?
People were friendly, and the cost of living was so much lower than any place we had been. It was a great place to raise kids. Great place. We lived downtown in Old Louisville for the first 23 years and just absolutely loved it.
And you had how many children? Or you had
we have children? One together, mm-hmm. and he had two from a prior marriage.
So then, so you stayed here,
mm-hmm.
and did you go to another unit after this recruiting
unit? I picked up a paid. I mean, I've only had two times that I got paid to be reserved.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up 5 years. I served with a selective service unit in Frankfurt.
Tell me about that.
Mostly National Guard and Army Reserves.
What did you do specifically?
I had a 7 counties that I was responsible for, just making sure people were 18-year-olds were aware they had to register with selective service. And I would, on my active duty 2 weeks, I would go to all the schools and talk to the counselors, make sure they had the information, go to the post office. I would go to, if they had any media, I would go on the radio or TV or whatever and just promote, you know, this is the law. If you're 18, you have to register. And that was really, really interesting. And then I trained board members. The board members at that time were presidential appointees, but we had to find them and then recommend them, you know, screen them and recommend them for appointment. And then once a year, I trained the board members on selective service laws, and we would do practice cases and pretend that the draft came back in force and we had to open an office and all that kind of stuff.
What's your rank at this point?
At that point, I was a major.
A major. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, were you assigned? Was this a unit out of Frankfort, or
I was
a reserve unit out of
it
Frankfort?
It was a reserve unit out of Frankfort. Uh-huh. And I was assigned by the Marine Corps. They needed one Marine, so I was the one Marine. And I was almost always the only female in a unit. I can't remember one time in Louisville there was another female. And then when what I did after selective service, there was finding a whole bunch of them. It was great.
So during the time when you're serving in these units and you're the only female, did you ever think about that? Or did it just not dawn on you that much?
I was used to it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time it really got me was way back in when we went to basic school, because OCS, we were by ourselves. The basic school, we were the first class of female Marines to integrate for training, for classroom-only training. We still lived separate, and were bussed in and out. But for classroom training, we were with the males. And when we walked into that classroom with 44 of us, there were 200 and 300 guys. It was like, oh my gosh, I have gone into a man's world. And I did not realize, it never occurred to me that I was doing something different.
Did you ever feel like when you were the only woman in these units, after a certain point, yeah. You didn't really pay attention to that anymore.
I was used to it.
Do you think, were you treated well and yes. respectfully?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Total dignity and, you know, yeah. I was just one of the guys.
So, back to the selected service. Now, you're saying once you were doing this job, then you saw more women you were seeing more women in the join the Marine Corps, is that right? Or just in the military
in reserve
general,
units.
In the reserve units.
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to? And what year would this have been?
Well, I'm trying to think. When did I go to Camp Lejeune? I had another period of 3 or 4 years where I just did nothing, and I almost didn't make my retirement. During the Gulf War, we had a teenager that needed mom. Didn't need mom going anywhere or doing anything, so I kind of dropped out. 1990, somewhere in the 90s, 95, maybe 96, I got a call inviting me to, they were building a new battalion at Camp Lejeune, reserve battalion, and I was the only one they could find in the Marine Corps with a MOS. They needed for their TO. I said, okay. So I flew down and interviewed for the job, and they took me on. That's where I started seeing women reserves.
And how did that make you feel?
Oh, it was great. It was fun. It was fun.
Why
because
was it fun?
We were able to talk about experiences, and of course, they were all much, much younger than me. But I saw my first master gunnery sergeant, you know. It's like, gee. You know, so, and I know how she had to come up through some hard stuff, because on the enlisted side, I think they were harder on the girls, much tougher. And her
then
husband,
on the officer side where you were.
Yeah, and her husband had a real hard time because she outranked him. And I think they finally ended up splitting up. So, which I outranked my husband, and he just thinks it's cool.
So you do outrank your husband.
Yeah, because he got out at 20. And I stuck around.
What did
you
retire
and eventually
as
a major.
Major.
And he was prior enlisted, so he had 10 years mm-hmm. enlisted time, mm-hmm. and then, you know, and he'd have probably made colonel or general even.
So he was supportive of your military
career? Absolutely. He's the one that pushed me into staying reserve, because he knew I loved it. And I was missing something, you know, of my very own while I was following him around, so worked out real well.
That's great.
Yeah.
what happens after you're assigned to this unit at Camp Lejeune?
I stayed there until I was ready to retire.
Is that, were you assigned to a reserve unit?
Mm-hmm.
Or you
mm-hmm.
chose that, I'm sure.
They called me and said, we really need you. And I said, well, I don't know. But by then, my daughter was out of school, and she was on her own. And I thought, well, you know, that could be kind of
so
funny.
Was your MOS still transportation at this point?
It still was. And that MOS has gone into logistics now.
Okay.
But I had not been to logistics school, so I guess they just kept it.
So here your MOS is transportation, yet you did a lot of other things outside of transportation, a lot of other duties that were...
By the time you get to be a major lieutenant colonel, you do whatever they need. They have a 9902 or something MOS, and it's just...
Was that the MOS that you
had? Not down there. I actually was the TMO for their line. But they fired their adjutant, and I had a lot of administrative experience on the civilian side. So they put me in as adjutant on paper, you know, but... For the TO, I was still that TMO.
And so, TMO is?
Traffic Management Officer.
So what did you do at Camp Lejeune? And in what year period are
that was
talking
probably
about?
1995 to 1999 or 2000.
Are you still a major at this point?
I was
promoted?
A major, but during the time that I was inactive, I had been selected for Lieutenant Colonel. And they... promoted me, I guess the first year I was there, they promoted me to lieutenant colonel. So that was kind of a funny story because I was apparently being paid as a lieutenant colonel, and I didn't know it because I was just looking to make sure I got paid. I wasn't looking to see 04, 05, what number. And the CO called me in one day and he said, you need to go to the PX and get some new rank insignia. And I said, sir? He said, we're going to put you out in front of the battalion and promote you. He said, you've been being paid for the last year as a lieutenant colonel. And I said, well, I didn't know that. And he said, well, yeah, you have, so we might as well make it official. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Absolutely. And so what did you do at Camp Lejeune? I'm sorry.
Working-wise, I was the adjutant. And
what did that entail?
I wrote, the biggest thing they asked me to do was write the fitness reports and awards because I had a really good, solid staff that knew Marine Corps administration. And so that's my biggest skill was writing. So whenever it was time for awards or fitness reports, there was, I would probably write 80 of them.
And what is define the role of an adjutant?
They are the chief administrator. I mean, they manage the record books and the pay, you know, the pay records, the whole, everything that concerns a Marine or that kind of guides their whole career. If you get a fitness report, it goes through that, everything goes through that office.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a good one, you're going to be okay.
And how
if you
long?
Don't, you're going to be losing pay or something.
How long were you at Camp Lejeune doing this?
About 4 years.
And then what did you do after that?
The battalion, that was during whose administration? It must have been Clinton. It's when they downsized and our battalion got cut. So I just didn't find anything that I really wanted to do, so I was ready to retire.
Those 5 years.
So I just waited it out and I did some volunteer stuff.
Now, was this 5 years of active duty or was this 5 years of reserve
duty?
Reserve duty.
Mm-hmm.
So did...
Oh, and I did a NATO exercise during that time,
Oh, I
too.
Want to hear about that. Tell
that
me
was
about
fun.
That. Tell me about that.
I went with part... It was parts of our battalion and parts of other groups at Camp Lejeune. We went to Stuttgart, Germany for 3 weeks for a NATO exercise. And that was really...
Specifically, what did you do? What did the NATO exercise involve?
It was a recreation of Chernobyl. So we had people like the national head of the Red Cross, all those kind of people came in at different times during that. It was was really interesting. And I did the, I worked in the, they call it the Distinguished Visitor's Office. And so we were the liaison. We had Marines that picked up the dignitaries, made sure they got billeted okay, brought them in and out, made sure they got their badges so that they could get in and out of the exercise. And which is totally new. I mean, women, that was a nice way for me to, that was the last year that I was there. So that was kind of fun.
Are you suggesting that was an unusual job for a woman to
not
have
in then, the Marine Corps? But okay. From my perspective, coming back from the 70s when I came into the Marine Corps, yeah, because women, I was one of the, when I was at Camp Pendleton, the 1st Marine Division, which was all male, was doing a exercise in the field, and they came to the base general and said, can we borrow a couple of women? We are finding that we don't have any experience since Vietnam interrogating women, and we need to do that. And so they loaned us. So somebody would pick me up in a Jeep in the morning. I had a scenario. I was a friendly. And I was somebody in this village. This was back at Pendleton. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know.
But what I'm trying to grasp is, so you're doing the NATO exercise.
Right.
Are you saying you just saw more women involved in the NATO exercise?
Yeah.
And that's
there were
what was
a lot
new
of women.
To you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what kind of roles were the women playing in that exercise?
Well, they were doing whatever their jobs were. I mean, we had...
Were these military?
These were all military.
NATO,
yeah.
And part of the NATO countries.
Of course, some of it I didn't know because I didn't have the need to know. I only had the need to know.
Mm-hmm.
What we were doing. But I was seeing women in the different command posts when I would bring these distinguished visitors.
And how did you feel about that?
I thought it was cool. It's really cool.
So did you and your husband move to Camp Lejeune, or did you just...
No, I flew on my dime.
From Louisville?
From Louisville once a month. And they would try to give me, because they had the way their budgets are structured, they would give me an extra day on either end because the admin section had to have extra time getting started before the Marines actually came in and then kind of winding it down. So I would actually end up getting a couple extra days.
So Camp Lejeune, at that point, you did you have to get out of the military or did you choose to get out of the military?
I had to because my age.
Of your age.
I was finally they have an aging grade, and I had finally maxed out.
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. In looking at the arc of your mm-hmm. career, which would you say was the highlight of your career?
Oh, golly. Probably Camp Lejeune, because I was in a first time in a combat service support role and doing things. We would go out in the field. When I came in the Marine Corps, women didn't qualify with a weapon. Well, that was something they expected you to do. Just that was the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these women that I was working with had come in, they had come in the Marine Corps at a time when you trained the same as the men. And so you knew the same things. You know, so I was kind of having to learn everything at the end. But
do you wish you'd had that opportunity earlier?
Oh, absolutely. Because that was the only thing I always felt behind the curve was at Camp Pendleton. I had a armory, and we would bring in shipments of weapons, and I would have to post a guard. And I'd get a guard from my battalion, but I had never fired. I didn't know whether they were doing it right or, you know. So I finally had my company gunny take me out on the range and qualify me with a pistol, just so I knew how to do that. And it was always, you know, guys are getting, they're having to take tests to get promoted. Well, they're doing information that I never had. So I did I did some correspondence courses so that I could kind of catch up on knowledge. But
so in retrospect, are you glad that you pursued, I guess you didn't consider it in the beginning a career, but...
Yeah.
Perhaps it didn't turn out. Perhaps it turned into a career that you never...
absolutely.
That you never fathomed.
I would but not change
do you
thing.
Feel like it was all worth it? Would you have changed anything?
I probably would have tried to learn more. I would have been more proactive at taking more classes and trying to find more ways to learn things. But and it was kind of like I did it my way, and it was okay. And I wouldn't change a thing. I loved it.
And you don't feel like you had any missed opportunities, or particularly as a woman?
No.
In a very male-dominated field?
No. I mean, any missed opportunities were my choice. I could have, because I'm looking at my two, especially my peer, and she got there from the same place because she wanted to, you know, and she just made those opportunities happen. And I think anybody can.
Okay. And I do have... what did you learn most from the military, your military service?
I learned about myself.
What did you learn?
I think I just learned I can do anything I want to do. Anything I want to set my mind to, I can do it. And I
have
that confidence that I never had before.
And what advice would you give to young women today who want to serve in the Marine Corps?
Do it. Try it. If you don't like it, it's only 3 years out of your life, or whatever that contract commitment is. And you may find out that you like it and you have a wonderful career.
All right. Well, Colonel Broussard, I want to thank you for your time. It's been an honor and a pleasure to get to meet you and to interview with you, and appreciate your service to our country.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you.